Welcome to Sew and Tell, where sewists from fashion, theater, and indie sewing bring their different perspectives to the hottest topics in the sewing community. I'm Kate Zeinard.
I'm Meg Healy.
And I'm Amanda Carestio.
Many thanks to our sponsor, Bernina, who, just like us, is made to create.
Today, we have a super special guest co-host, Deepika Prakash, who is calling in via Skype. She is the founder of PatternReview.com, and we have invited her on for the debate to end all pattern debates, but probably not, because it will just keep going. So indie or big four, paper or digital, we think it's going to be juicy. After that, we'll share a little something in our Sojo segment and ask you to share something too. Before we get started, though, how is everyone doing today? And welcome, Deepika.
Well, thank you so much. What a fun way to debate.
Exactly.
Totally.
Yeah, we are so excited to have you on for this and to get your perspective coming from the pattern review side of things. Why don't we jump in? I'm kind of ready to get going.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, let's jump in.
Okay. So first up, we are going to talk indie versus big four. This is a hot one, you guys. I was thinking about it, and you know, as few as 5 to 10 years ago, the indie pattern designer scene was just nothing like it is today. And kind of the sewist main option was to use big four patterns, which is typically defined as Simplicity, Vogue, Butterick, and McCall's, which are now all part of the same company anyway.
So I guess it's big one.
It's the big one. But now it's a very different story, and indie designers make up a huge portion of the sewing pattern landscape. So big four versus indie, it's a hot topic among sewists. So I kind of want to jump into that and get everyone's perspectives on that, but also to kind of, just to get started, wanted to think about and talk about how indie designers have kind of changed the landscape. And Deepika, to hear from you about, maybe you can get us started. And I was curious how the influx of indie designers has kind of changed things or not on patternreview.com.
I'm glad you added the or not.
Yeah, or not.
I'm going to reframe the question a little bit because believe it or not, like ever since like Pattern Review started in 2001. So we've had a lot of people review since then. And while the companies have changed, but I think of indie, when you say independent designers, I'm thinking of anybody who's not McCall's, Berta, Simplicity, Vogue, New Look, Butterick. I think we covered all.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That sounds right.
So anybody who's not those, we've always had people reviewing and sharing their projects from different independent designers, even from the beginning. And like, I'll give you some examples of some companies you may or may not know of, like Stretch and Sew, Green Pepper, and, you know, Sewing Workshop is an older independent designer. And there's so many independent designers which people have always, like, written reviews on. So I actually did a little bit of a data analysis just to kind of validate what I sense as, you know, having been in touch with all these projects, and it did validate. And what I'm seeing is that the number of people who are now sewing with independent designers is going up on Pattern Review, at least. And obviously, I can tell you only from our perspective on what Pattern Review community is sewing. It's going up like by 3 to 5% every year. But it's been like, it started like back in, I'm seeing like, I want to say what, like even 2007-ish, you know, there were like about 30% of the reviews were of independent pattern companies.
Wow, that is surprising.
Yeah, that's
a big number.
Yep. And now, I think now we're seeing, 44.
Wow.
Yep.
That's almost half.
So, yep, that's almost half. And then I don't know if you want to get into, and now I'm like, and we all, as you know, we do yearly best patterns of the year.
Right.
So if you want to look at that data, because that's based on what people are reviewing, and then people vote on those. So it's like a two-step process. Mm-hmm. So, and that number is pretty awesome, in my opinion, because I'm seeing that now it's at a point at which it's, you know, like almost like 40, 60, like 40 being independent designers and 60 being still the big four on that list.
Oh, cool.
I love that list every year. Yeah. I look forward to seeing those. But I had noticed that it did seem like there are more indie designers being featured in that list.
Actually, I'm looking at my list. This was the first year. No, actually last year. 52% of them were indie.
Wow.
Yeah,
so actually more than half. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah,
so. I love this. Data is so great.
Data is awesome.
Yes.
It's facts.
We like that.
So the other thing which you asked was how has the influx of indie designers impacted pattern review? I think it's the other way around. Pattern review has impacted the independent designers. Now, a lot of them may or may not realize this, but the fact that so many people are posting on pattern review, which is one, I don't know if it's the only one, but it's one of the only ones, which is completely unbiased platform where people can review and write about any, because we're not affiliated with any pattern company.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So the more people talk about it, the more people discover all these newer independent patterns, and the more they're going to support and try new. So I think pattern review has impacted the independent designer industry quite a bit.
It makes a lot of sense.
That's very cool. Well, we have a little bit, it's probably less scientific, but we had some data that we gathered from our Instagram community for the podcast. And we asked, do you prefer big four patterns more than indie patterns? And 61% of people said no. 39% of people said yes. So this was just a quick poll. I was honestly expecting that number to be a little bit higher for no's. I kind of expected the Instagram community to be more indie focused. So it was a little bit more even than I...
Oh, I'm sorry. So you're saying more people prefer the big four on Instagram?
No, more people prefer indie, but it was 61.
You thought it would be a bigger difference.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, let's open it up a little bit. And I kind of wanted to talk about, you know, we talk a lot from the business angle, but also kind of on a personal level, I was curious, kind of for everyone, have you sewn with an indie pattern? And do you remember your first one, your first time taping paper together to create your pattern? I certainly remember that.
Now, keep in mind that just because it's an indie pattern doesn't mean you were taping it together.
It's true. It's true.
Because I do remember that, but I also remember if you're looking at the list we were going through earlier, my first indie pattern was probably a folkwear pattern.
Oh, yeah.
Because I did a lot of those when I was in the theater, and I don't believe we had to tape those together.
Nope.
So anyway, my answer is yes.
Yes, you've done one.
Well, coming from me, my first indie pattern was actually not too long ago, working with Berta for like 6 years now. I kind of only sew Berta. I don't really have time to sew anything else. But I dipped my toes with the Nico top that I love by True Bias. So that was really fun. And I have another one kind of in the works. Megan Nielsen just released this swimsuit pattern. I think it was just like yesterday, and I just really want to give it a try. So I'm slowly wanting to get a little bit more into the indie sewing. But yeah, right now it's still Alumberta, because I mean, they post so many new patterns every month. Like, so many I need to make still before I
just don't have time to make anything else.
I want to say that my first indie pattern, like, and I don't consider Berta to be an indie pattern. So that was my second, like, first pattern when I actually sewed, which was a simplicity one. And then the second one was Berta. Mm-hmm. And for years I've worked with Berta, but, and then I want to say my first indie pattern has to be a Jolie pattern.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Nice Canadian brand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm still like, it's still one of my favorite brands to sew for myself and my daughter.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. They have, and because they make a lot of pattern for knits. I mean, at least they used to. They have a lot more now. Mm-hmm. But they have their styles are amazing. And the way they're drafted and put together is just so cool. They really mm-hmm. put a lot of thought into it. I've never had a water from any of their patterns. They have minimal ease, so they fit you like they should. And so I am all like, it's my favorite pattern company to sew for my daughter. If we talk about taping, and she's what, 8 now, I think, like, I could do a child's pattern, you know, it's like, it'll what 5 pages I could tape at.
Right.
So I think I may have tried that Made by Ray. I don't know if any of you guys have kids.
Yep.
Or you sew for kids, but Made by Ray pattern, I tried the geranium dress.
Oh, yeah, that's a cute one.
Yeah, so I tried that. Then I tried Oliver and S, and I was hooked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think my first one was back in 2014, and I sewed the Whitney Deal Mercer tunic. And I think that was, I bought it on Etsy, because I think, you know, back then, a lot of people didn't, you know, the designers didn't necessarily have their own websites with a marketplace set up, so they were going through Etsy. But mm-hmm. that was definitely one I had to tape together, and it felt like it took 5 hours. I remember, and I was like, what am I doing? So now, kind of what, on a personal level, what's the unscientific percentage of Big Four versus indie patterns that you kind of use on a regular basis?
Okay, she's looking at me.
Kate's going first.
Honestly, right now, I think it depends on if you count Berta or not. If you do, it's maybe 75% indie and 25% Big Four. If you just take the Big Four down to Simplicity, McCall's, Buttrick, and Vogue, then it's probably like 97% indie. I just right now I am very much trying out the littler companies out there and finding all the interesting things that they're doing. And I don't think I've sewn anything from the Big Four in about 2 years at this point. So unless you count the dice bags, the dice bags are technically a Buttrick, I think. Simplicity? I can't remember. In any case, they're dice bags, so they barely count.
Yeah. well, mine's like 99% Big Four, Berta, and then 1%, I guess, indie. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, that makes sense.
I love Berta so much.
That makes sense.
Since it's like when you get familiar working with a brand, I just always know my size. Oh, yeah. I always know the fit and
the seam allowance and all of that.
Yeah, the seam allowance. Now I get mad if a pattern has seam allowance in it. I'm like, how dare you add that 5/8? I only like to sew with 1/2 inch. No.
Yeah.
I get like mad when they include not
the
seam allowance.
How could you possibly make this decision for me?
Yeah. But I find what you were talking about earlier is indie doesn't really, I don't always think of digital, and I know we'll talk about this later, but digital as an indie thing, because even when I started with Berta 6 years ago, they only had the online site that I was working for only had the digital patterns anyway, so it was still all digital. So I don't always think that indie means digital. It can be Big Four.
It's
as
true.
Well.
And there's
just a little note. Yeah.
There's a lot of indie designers releasing paper patterns as well.
Oh, yeah. So. No, totally. Totally. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for me, because I don't have too much time, I like to make smart decisions. And for me, I think the fact that a lot of people are talking about some patterns favorably in pattern review sometimes does influence my decisions, because if I'm setting myself up for success, it really doesn't matter whether I'm using indie pattern or a big four pattern, like the McCall 6886. It's like, I don't know, over like hundreds of reviews at this point.
Oh.
And that in itself has been featured in so many of our lists over years. It's one of the oldest patterns, which is still active.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I whipped those out in an hour, and I can use that as a blank canvas for some of the other projects I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
So, I think there are five, but if I'm short on time, I will, for me, it's more about like picking a pattern which I have sewn before. I know that it's going to work for me.
Uh-huh.
But when I'm thinking of trying newer patterns that I haven't made before, I would say for me, it's like 50-50. It all depends on what I'm looking at right now on the site and what people are making. If it works, the person has the same body type as me and I like their style, chances are that I will like the project as well. So it saves some time for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting into that mode where it takes a lot for me to kind of branch out. Like I like to make things kind of over and over and over again if I know that they're going to work. So, but when I do, I bet I'm 97% indie patterns at this point. And I think it is part of that I sew things over and over again. And I don't know, I'm really active on Instagram. So that's what I see more of. And so that's just kind of where I'm at the moment. But it definitely, it could change at any moment. So.
Well, and the big four have been doing their things for a long time and they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right, totally.
So maybe let's dive into kind of like, which do you like more and why? And I was thinking about this on the indie side. And one part of it that I do really like is that it is, within the community, these are independent small businesses run by women. So I really like that aspect of things that I'm, supporting someone who is their business, and you can have interactions with them. I kind of like the longevity of indie patterns more than big four, because I feel like, especially if we're talking paper patterns, the fact that, I don't know, the naming sometimes throws me off for big four. Like as soon as you have four numbers in a row, I'm like, which one was that? Like, just name it after a person already. But I find that's I just like that more. And, that there is that longevity. It's not that a bunch of people have made it and now you can't find it anymore. With indie patterns, you search the hashtag and you can find a bazillion versions. And it's kind of hard to tease it out. But that's my take. Anybody else want to weigh in?
I'll weigh in. I absolutely, absolutely, hands down, am a big fan of small businesses, being one myself too. I like to support my local community in my town. I will actually make an effort to not shop on Amazon sometimes. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to that art store to buy that pen, because I am a big fan of a personal journey. And personally, one of the perks of my running pattern review is that I have had a lot of connection with a lot of these pattern designers.
Sure.
And I have had a chance to talk to them and I've learned their story. And that to me is really important. And I know that so many of them have put in so much of themselves into their businesses. And the other thing which I like about independent designers is that they do sew-alongs. They do a lot of sew-alongs.
Mm-hmm.
And each pattern release is sometimes it's a little over-the-top production. But in most cases, it's good because they give you the fabric choices. They tell you where it came from. And then they'll follow it with the sew along. Some of them even offer kits now. So
right.
I like that each release is something meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And but that said, if I have never honestly personally done anything because of a hype, I will sew something if it works for my lifestyle and my taste and my body type. So I can always appreciate it on others. Like for me, cold shoulder is a no-go. I never wore a cold shoulder. I actually want double shoulders.
That's so funny that you say that. Amanda has said that in so many like other episodes talking about a cold shoulder.
No cold shoulders for me either.
Nope. I will wear a shrug on top of everything.
Well, and see, I think
I just don't get that trend. I just don't get it.
No, and I totally understand that. I don't really get it either. But I think that that's one of the benefits. I don't know if it's benefits, but when you have the big four, they are following trends and they're coming out with all these new patterns. And it's all like, okay, this is the look for this year. But with the independent pattern designers, because they don't put out such a volume every given year, they tend to, I think a little bit more about each pattern and how long it can be usable.
I find them more just like practical. Like I think of like an indie pattern if I needed some like really good like wardrobe staples, but I'm going to go somewhere like, obviously, I'm not being biased here, but Berta for like a fashion piece.
Yeah, for a statement. If you want to go high fashion, you're going to go Berta or Vogue, something like that.
Yeah.
If you want to go wardrobe staples, independent pattern companies are great for that. And you do see a certain amount of the trend things going on. Like a lot of people have jumpsuits out, and that is definitely a trend. But you still see a lot of things that you could expect to be wearing in 10 years, still not as a renaissance to the look.
And I think there's what I love, absolutely love about independent designers in the sewing industry is it validates our industry. That means it's feasible. It's financially feasible for people to think about starting a sewing business. And you cannot imagine the thrill it gives me. But I do, and it just makes me so happy to think of this as a feasible, viable, financially feasible industry. And the fact that somebody can dream up and actually make it happen.
That you can be successful when competing against companies that big and that
exactly.
history.
No, for sure.
There has been a little bit of talk about... I mean, I think it happens on the big four side and on the indie side as well about quality, because I feel like the big four patterns kind of have their history going for them, and they do have that, you know, professional level grading, and you know that that's kind of built into their system. And the indie designers, you know, I think they come at it with a varying degree of professional background in pattern design, fashion design, and grading. So I have seen some critiques of indie designers, especially because there are so many of them now that focus on the grading, and also on the flip side, there's kind of the instructions question, you know, big four versus indie, because my experience has been that indie instructions are better, more detailed. There's usually a bit more illustrations to go by. I'm sure that's not true across the board. But on the grading front, I think I've had flops on both sides. You know, I've had weird things that I couldn't figure out size wise. So I wouldn't say that I'm on either side of that, for indie or big four, but what has your experience been?
My experience or what I've noticed is that with indie pattern companies, I think they walk into their instruction writing thinking that you are not perhaps an expert. And they tend to write as if that you need a little bit more guidance, which I think is honestly great, because if you do, then you've got it. And if you don't, you're like, okay, great. And you just kind of say, so what they're saying is you do this and this, and you just kind of ignore those details. I think that the big four tend to have, they have a style, you know, and it's a style that assumes that you are at a certain level and that you know what you're doing. And yeah, technically it does, a beginner can follow it, but I find that it's always a little easier for me to follow independent instructions rather than big four instructions. And I am a pretty high level sewer. So that's just, you know, it's not like I can't follow the big four. It's just that it's easier to follow. Now, Berta can be real special on occasion. Sometimes. Yes, there's a little bit.
Exactly.
There's a little bit there. And they assume you really know what you're doing. And so yeah. I can usually handle Berta. But there are moments, I tell you, there was a dress I was working on a couple of weeks ago where I was just sitting there staring at the instructions like, I don't know which edge they're talking about. They're saying the front edge, but I don't know what piece they're talking about. So I don't know which front edge I'm supposed to be dealing with here. I'm going to guess. So yeah, that's my take on that. Sorry, Berta.
It's okay. The complaint department's closed there, Kate. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it probably is late enough that it is. So Meg, you're going to have to take my complaints for them.
Just have a stack ready for when I come to Colorado okay. next time. And I'll
point send you in the right direction.
Well, I mean, I can't talk about my experience on my one Nico top. I mean, it worked and it was great. So that's kind of all I have to go on. So I'm probably not the best person to ask in terms of overall the quality of grading and everything. What I do for the Nico top is I'm a big fan of just taking a measurement right from a similar garment that I have in my wardrobe, mm-hmm. a similar turtleneck, and I measure it across, you know, the chest and bust and hip and just put that tape measure on the pattern. And I just kind of, I do that for men's patterns too, because I don't know what size, and I just, and then I, you know, the neck and the sleeve length and everything, I just, yeah. So that's what I did, and it really worked for me in that instance. Yeah, because maybe I just didn't have that sort of, not trust, but just the unfamiliarity of not knowing, and maybe a little bit of stigma too of the indies grading, as mm-hmm. what you said too, the lack of experience and stuff. But then again, I haven't delved into too many other ones, but yeah.
I haven't had any like super bad experiences on either side, honestly. And I think it all comes down to, like Meg said, which sometimes when people experience that, it's like a lot of the times, I don't know, maybe it's the fact that we haven't picked the right size, or I can only tell you from my personal experience that the only time I had a, well, recent as well, but this was when I was sewing for my daughter, and I think I picked Simplicity. I don't know which pattern I picked for her. It was huge. It was absolutely huge on mm-hmm. her. And then that's when I switched to more independent patterns for her. Because as a new mom, like, you know, I don't have that kind of time, like a new working mom too. So I switched to Oliver and S patterns. I was like pleasantly surprised, and it was like so nice. Everything worked great. So that was my only like negative experience with one of the more commercial patterns. But mm-hmm. I have not had any issues with lines not matching up. But lately, and I can talk more about that later, I'm more into hand stitching. I don't know if we're allowed to say Alabama Channon style, or this, I think they want us to say this school of making reverse mm-hmm. applique type stitching. So one of their patterns are not well drafted, in my opinion, for at least the ones I have used. So some of the things are off here and there. But because I am not new to sewing, I use the reverse applique style on some of the patterns I've already used before, like that McCall's one I mentioned, 6886. There's no reason why I can't use that technique on some of the other patterns. So other than that, I mean, true bias patterns work really well for me too. And in the closet case, I've sewn only a couple of them. But yeah, I haven't had any problems in either case. Maybe like, I'm not mad at anyone, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like more pattern companies, the better for us. Yes.
I know. And I would like to say that my flops probably come down to picking the wrong size and the wrong style for me, yep. and or the wrong fabric, because even though I know better, sometimes I still you know.
Mm-hmm. We all have you have those hope. Moments. You're like, yeah, I shouldn't.
I'll make
but
it work. I'll yeah. make it work.
Oh, I've totally done that before. You're like, ooh.
Well, there's one more thing that I wanted to cover. I feel like we could talk for hours on this subject, yeah. but I did. I did kind of want to talk about beginner sewers, because I think, you know, we're all in the sewing industry and we're all kind of invested in seeing it move forward, which means that, you know, bringing in new sewists is really an important mm-hmm. part of this. So I was kind of curious to hear what your take on this is. Is there one kind of pattern that's better than the other? Kind of related to that, thinking about the cost of indie patterns, which, you know, even for a digital right. pattern can really get up there in the, you know, $14 to $16 to even $18 range, as opposed to big four patterns, which are very similar paper-wise, but, you know, you can often get them on sale for 99 cents. So kind of a two-part question, you know, is... Are we set up for success in terms of a sewing industry, and are beginner sewists better served by indie or big four? I guess there's probably pros and cons.
She's looking at me again. Okay, so
sorry.
So no, it's fine. But you're obviously throwing it to me, so I will answer. I think that, as I said a little while ago, I feel like the instructions are. For independent patterns are written a little bit better for beginners. And so mm-hmm. I think that if you're really not confident in your skills, that's a great place to start. However, I also think it's good to get practice with the big four because they kind of set the standard. So if you're looking for marks that you're going to recognize, they're sort of universal, but not completely. And I feel like there's a certain amount of, I don't know, they're the main patterns. They're the patterns everybody uses. They're the patterns your grandma uses. They're the patterns your mom uses. They're the patterns, you know, your great-grandmother used. So there's that too. Wait, what was the other part? The price. Mm-hmm. The price. It's really hard for me to think about that, honestly, because in this job, I get many of my patterns comped. I know I have, especially with costume patterns, gone and done... I've done the, five for $5. I'm just going to get a whole bunch of costumes that I might want to make someday. And I've got a whole lot of costume patterns that I've never made sitting in my house right now. So I think for me, if I really like an independent pattern, if it's exactly what I want, I don't have a problem paying $15 for it. Mm-hmm. If I really think that I'm going to enjoy it and want to make it again. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you know who's behind it and you're supporting, mm-hmm. again, these great, you know, women-run businesses. I really right. don't mind. I understand the price more coming from a family of, my dad was an entrepreneur. So I always, things are going to be more expensive when they are produced locally or in a small business. And
right. And there's that fine. Balance yeah. of how much you produce and how big your company is. And, mm-hmm. you know, how little you can sell it for versus how much you have to sell it for to make a profit. And I totally get that. And I think it's worth mm-hmm. it.
I would also say, too, that, I mean, you can sew for years and not know that the indie sewing pattern landscape exists. You know, I mean, I think if all you have is, you know, a big craft store chain in your local,
totally.
Town, and then, you know, it's kind of an accessibility question. You know, those big four patterns are there, and
they're what you've got.
They're what you've got, and you know, they're there for you in a way that, you know, I feel like the indie sewing, can be a little bit hard to find unless you know what you're looking for and you know to look for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. If you mm-hmm. don't know it exists, you don't know to look for it. That's right. I didn't really discover that indie pattern companies existed until I started working here. And then mm-hmm. I was like,
oh, me. Yeah.
Oh, this beautiful world has just opened up to me.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm a huge fan of pattern books. Books.
Oh, yeah.
Have
oh, yeah.
patterns in them. And every single time I have recommended a pattern to a person who wants to learn how to sew, I have recommended them get started with a pattern book, because not only will the book teach them start to finish, what to look for, a good pattern book. But they will also give them patterns, which they can either trace or take to a copy shop to print. And mm-hmm. some of the ones which come to mind, which I've personally recommended to people who are new to sewing, are one by Tilly and the Buttons, the mm-hmm. Love at First Stitch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I guess we're going back to indie, but like I love that it's like completely nicely packaged.
Pattern book.
It starts with basic patterns and it teaches you about fabric, it teaches about tools you need, and it's like basic stuff. So that one, and Oliver and S has one which is called The Building Block. Mm-hmm. And then I'm I love pattern hacking. I love starting from basic pattern and then adding details to it. And so not only are they learning, they're not like limited to a pattern, then they're going to be learning new tips and tricks. So I think like a pattern book is a good pattern book is like a complete package.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
That is a good idea. I didn't even think of that, but that's totally.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. There's so many good ones. All of them have been written by people who were once beginners, at least the ones I like. And mm-hmm. I like seeing their voice, again, coming back to their story, the voice, mm-hmm. and how they're teaching me or someone else is pretty nifty. And then coming back to, but I like, so last year I started like each one, teach one series on pattern review. And I talked about how important it is to pass on this craft to the next generation. Or like to anyone, not even just the next generation, but like your own generation. If somebody doesn't, my goal is that everyone should sew. Every single person should sew.
I like it.
Oh, totally.
I agree.
You need your jeans hem, sew it yourself. You need, yeah, it's like that.
So when people ask me that, hey, oh, you sew, will you sew? I'm like, nope. But I will teach you how to sew.
Yes.
That's always what I say. I'd rather show you how to do it than you just come over and bring a bag of alterations. I'll be like, oh, no, I'll show you how to do it. So, yeah, I think like everyone has a refrigerator in your room. Everyone should have a sewing machine in their house. It's just kind of a standard appliance, which, you know.
So I will give credit where it's due because I do think that the big four are also making an effort. Simplicity has their new pattern hacking line,
I think. Yes, I've seen those.
So
I've heard good things.
I will give them credit for making an effort. And they also are partnering with some of the designers. Right? Like the series for kids. I'm forgetting the name. By hand or mm-hmm. just paying. If it's Simplicity or someone else. But I think one of them have partnered with the sewing school and they're turning out patterns for kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. so good.
Yeah, I recommended one to Laura, actually, who works in the office and her son wants to sew. So
mm-hmm. that's awesome.
Yeah, that's another thing. All the collaborations with people. I know Mimi G has patterns with Simplicity and
Liesl Gibson.
Yeah. And so that's kind of a nice marriage between the two, I think, mm-hmm, as well.
Yeah, I think that it's great to be able to share resources. They have all the infrastructure.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think it's great that they're making an effort. I think it's mm-hmm. it's a win-win.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, you guys. That was kind of just the tip of the iceberg. But
it really was.
But so much more to think about when we think about this. And I think the beauty of it is you kind of don't have to decide, and you can do both. And I think it's good to get out of your box every once in a while, even if you're like me and you're mostly on indie side. You know, branch out and try new things.
Yeah, you don't have to be on one side or the other of this line. You can mm-hmm. straddle it all you want.
Right.
Yes.
So thanks, you guys.
This episode is sponsored by Bernina. Why not transform a thrift store pair of jeans into a cute jumper? Or a men's shirt into a cool wrap dress? With a new Bernina 3 Series sewing machine, you'll be saying, DI, why not? Both the B335 and B325 come standard with the Bernina legendary stitch quality we all love. And these machines are packed with innovative features, easily handle a variety of tough or tricky fabrics, and are an absolute cinch to use. New and seasoned stitchers alike love these machines. Find a store near you at Bernina.com and bring home your Bernina 3 Series machine today.
All right, so on to my segment, which we've already started to touch on just a little bit. So when you're sewing with the big four patterns and patterns from many of the other pattern companies, the more independent ones, you're probably using a pattern printed on tissue paper and packaged in an envelope. Many independent pattern designers use this traditional method, but the past decade has seen the rise of digital patterns, PDF files that you print out on letter-sized paper on your home printer and then tape together to create the full-size patterns. Both types have pros and cons, so let's get into that. So let's start straight up with the big question. What do you prefer, paper or digital? Amanda, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, but I think you guys know where I stand on this. I'm a big fan of digital patterns. I don't like pattern paper. It's just, I don't know, I like cutting out and using something that's a little bit heavier paper, less flimsy. I am horrible about tracing, so I would just rather print it out, cut it out, and then if I need a different size later, print it out again. Probably not the most eco-friendly thing, but I guess I'd be tracing on paper either way, so it's probably a wash. So I'm definitely, I mean, it took a little time to get used to taping PDFs together, but now I kind of like it. It's kind of my my zone out thing that I do. Sometimes I do it on my back porch, like on the patio. And, you know, you don't usually have to think too hard. And when I actually, like, look back, it probably doesn't take as long as I think it, as it sometimes feels like it does. It's probably, you know, 5 to 7 minutes tops. Unless you've got a really big pattern. So that's my answer in a nutshell.
Okay.
I covered everything.
How about you, Deepika? What do you think?
So my job is running pattern review. I have access to every pattern.
Yeah.
In the office. So, and we also have a plotter because we offer copy shop services to members who buy digital patterns.
I didn't know that.
Cool. No.
Yes. So it's been great. But before that, I was where Amanda is. And I honestly loved the little slowdown of like cutting and taping. I didn't mind it one bit. I also do not like the tissue. So I'm very similar. And I love the instant gratification of digital patterns. Oh, I love that I can try a pattern from Finland. I can just click, print, and sew the same day.
Yes.
And I, it just like the thrill of that, being able to connect it with all of these countries and cultures and being able to see all the different styles of patterns, like Scandinavian styles. And that's what's thrilling to me, to be able to try a digital pattern that, I want to try something different. And the whole organic nature of it, like, oh, I just printed my computer. I'm like my printer and cut it, tape it. And stuff.
And the paper's still warm. I always love that. It's still warm. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going
to see hot off the presses.
We're such nerds.
I know. Yeah. I was talking last episode. How even the iron steam in my face, like, it's like, I just like love it. How I like love it. And the smell of like steaming old fabric, that smell of it. Well, guys are so weird.
So into it.
Yeah, so I'm digital all the way. I hate tissue. I can't even remember the last time I used a tissue pattern. I don't know. And yeah, I just love digital.
We'll never go back.
That's why I liked Jolie patterns from the beginning, because they're always printed on that thick paper. Well, they're good patterns too.
See, now I feel like I ought to be defending paper patterns because I'm the last one to talk, but I'm kind of a digital girl too. I hadn't experienced them until a few years ago. And I will admit that I find the taping part to be kind of frustrating sometimes. Meg gave me a tip last time we talked about this, and I've got Berta patterns to the point where they're usually flat when I tape them. But a lot of the others, they tend to get kind of wrinkled because I can't quite get them set up right. Mm-hmm. And I can't get everything to quite match up. And so that tends to make me frustrated. But I do hate the tissue. I think we all hate the tissue. I'm not a tracer. So I really like the thicker paper. And I like that I can do different sizes if I need to. I like that if mm-hmm. I lose my pattern, I can just reprint it and redo it.
Oh, totally.
Or like a single pattern piece, which always happens to me.
One time I wanted to add a patch pocket onto something, so I just, you know, went into my file and I just located the one page where the pocket was. I just printed on and just added it. I do that a lot, especially with Berta when there's more styles, like variations to one pattern. Sometimes you don't need all the pieces. So I just count the pages and I just print the ones that I need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the other thing. If you don't need a pattern piece, you don't have to have the pattern piece. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I love is a lot of places now are doing layered patterns so that you can so that you can turn off all of the sizes you don't need and just print your size, or in my case, two sizes because I always have to blend them.
I was like, who's just one size? I know, five different sizes.
but then I can just, you know, I can pick the whatever 14 on top and 18 on the bottom, and I don't have to have the 16 in the middle getting in my way and confusing me. And I love that. So that is a great thing
and
about
what was
digital
the tip?
Patterns.
I don't think, what was the tip that I gave you that... Was it on the light colored table and don't cut them, just overlap the pages?
Yeah, don't overlap them. I think you told me about the table, but I don't have one of those. So but yeah,
I'm
found
just curious
that
to know what tip was
that works really well for Berta, but it doesn't necessarily work well for other pattern companies that set theirs up exactly the same way.
Oh, okay.
So, but I've gotten a lot better with Berta, and despite the fact that my Berta patterns are usually not a 5 to 7 minute taping situation because sometimes I'm taping things that are like full length dresses. I'm a lot zenner about them than I am about some of the others. Sure.
Yeah. So we're all digital.
We are all digital. Okay. I want everybody to, or I want somebody to tell me something good about paper patterns.
Well, I was just thinking about them and thinking about CDs and like album covers. And there is kind of that.
Oh, yeah, you know, I could see that.
You know, there is, you know, a little bit of that just sensory experience. The other thing is, I mean, I have plenty of paper patterns in my stash that I have not sewn. But, you know, with digital, it's kind of hard to even keep track of what you have and you haven't sewn yet. So, you know, I do kind of like the kind of physical paper pattern sitting there reminding you to sew it. And then there's, you know, on the digital side, you can, you know, get by and buy whatever next pattern you want with no guilt.
Right. Because it's just data.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
Here, there's one.
Here's the second one. Who reads or used to read pattern instructions in bed? Did anyone do that? I know. I don't think I have.
I've done that once in a while.
I would sit in bed and like dream up that, I'm going to make that. And like, it's like, I just got this pattern. Of course, I'm talking at least like a few years ago, maybe like even 5 years ago. So my friend Kathy, who's no longer with us, she always looked at, you know, when people are like talking about, oh, I have way too many patterns. She's like, you know what a pattern is? Pattern is hope in an envelope.
Ooh, hope in an envelope.
That's a good one. I love
and
that.
I will
That's nicely phrased.
Never forget that.
Aww.
About that. And it's so true. You look at a pattern and you see that drawing of the person on there with like fabric choices, and you flip in the back and then you see the line drawing and then the sizes. And then you open it up and you read,
And then you're like, what's this paper made of?
The instructions part was always like, okay, the layout and this.
Yeah.
But it just makes you think.
Yeah,
you
know,
it makes you. And then, of course, that's if you have the paper thing, that's like less time on the screen, right? You
know, it's so true.
Totally. You look at the paper and you just
take it out of the envelope and
you're ready to
kind of press it and cut it out, and you're ready to go, and you don't have that extra step. So it does move a little faster.
Oh, and I'll tell you one more. If we didn't have paper patterns, what will we swap?
It's true.
Oh, it's a good point.
The pattern swaps.
Oh, yeah.
And vintage patterns. Also, yeah, I mean, I have some. I know some people have amazing collections, but like that's a little piece of history right there.
Yeah, it is.
And kind of connection between, you know, if you get it at the thrift store, kind of a connection between Soists. Yeah. You know, you've got someone else's markings and notes, and that's pretty special.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was little, my mom used to take me to all these garage sales, and I would pick up all these patterns. I would never sew. It's just, yeah, that sensory thing of looking. And I just love all the vintage little drawings and stuff. I think they would make like good art one day. I should just, I think, I don't know where, I think they're still back at my mom's house in the basement. I should dig all those up and collage at least
the covers.
The covers of them together. Yeah. I think that would be super, super cute. Yeah, but yeah.
All right. Well, we did a little quiz about this one. Not a quiz, a poll about this one as well. And we came up with 58% of people prefer paper patterns and 42% prefer digital. I know, right?
What? But really?
Now we have, as opposed to 100% of the people on this podcast right now.
Yeah.
But so hopefully they won't feel like we're bashing their fave too hard, because we did just come up with several great reasons to use paper patterns. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So here's one last question for you. When we say paper versus digital patterns, that's kind of a misnomer, because in the end, you're still using a paper pattern. Mm-hmm. You're just printing it at home. So then you've got this pattern left over. So how do you store your digital patterns once they're printed out onto paper? Anybody?
In a giant stack that I'm really ashamed of. How's that?
That's great. That's the best answer.
The paper ones are easy because they're like, you know, like smaller.
Wad them back up. If you can ever get them back in the envelope.
Yes.
But
yes, that is a con.
That is a con. The digital ones, you know, now I mostly print on the plotter. So they're like 36 inch wide sheets. So I will roll them up and stack them in the corner of the room before I use them. Mm-hmm. When I use them, I usually cut them because they're usually printed to my size. And then I fold them and I store them just like I would a paper pattern. Mm-hmm. Then that's it. So I don't have the roll. So I do have a lot of tubes, which means I have a lot of unsewn digital patterns printed, but they have not been sewn.
I rarely, if I'm not sewing them right away, they usually just stay in a stack of not taped together yet. I very rarely have them tiled together, but not cut out. And so I have a huge stack, and I kind of like, you know, when you like alternate them so you can kind of pick up just one. So I have big stacks like that. They're just not even tiled, but yeah.
What do you do once they're tiled?
I make them, and then I put them in like a big envelope with the instructions taped to the front, and then all of the folded up. It has to pass a will I make again or will I not? So about half of them, I just recycle them. I just know I'm not going to make them again, and I recycle them, but a select few make it into my envelope.
All right. Does anyone else have anything to say about paper versus digital patterns? Deep thoughts?
Deep thoughts.
I think I'm fresh out.
Like really digging deep, huh?
So should we just jump into our Sojo segment
next? Yeah, let's jump into Sojo.
Yeah, all right. So this is the part of the podcast where we each share our Sojo, which is something that's giving us our sewing mojo for the week. So Amanda, why don't you go ahead and get us started?
Well, my Sojo is a bit scattered because I have a list of things that I want to make for spring and summer, and I thought it was a very reasonable list, and I was really excited about it. But what is happening is that I'm kind of, it's a little bit warmer here in Colorado. I'm dipping into some of my kind of spring items, and I keep wearing things and thinking, oh man, I should make another one of these. And it just keeps happening. I just made another hinterland dress. I am working on another dungaree dress, the Roberts Collection one.
And even I'm wearing a Roscoe blouse today, and I wore it, and this morning, first thought, I should really make another one of these. So
I agree.
I think that's, I don't know. I don't know if that happens to me more than other people or if that happens to you guys, but that's, I don't know. I'm probably just going to do that and do a bunch of repeats.
That's okay. Whatever makes you happy.
It makes me happy. So happy.
How about you, Jipika? What's your sojo for the week? Or what are you working on or getting you inspired?
Actually working on another hand sewing project. It's this time it's a plain black shirt, which I have stenciled with transparent gray paint, which you can't see. And I'm sewing it with black thread. So yay, because I like to torture myself.
It's going to be very textural and
Yes, it'll be very. So I'm sewing that. But what I really need to be sewing is a cardigan from this beautiful royal blue Angora fabric I bought last year at the PR weekend in Canada. Because it's my friend Bonnie's favorite color, and she was mad at me because I spotted it first.
Oh.
I told her, look, I have a year to sew it up.
Scandal.
If I don't sew it before the next PR weekend, which is when I'll see you, it's yours. PR weekend is less than a month away, and if I don't sew that cardigan, I have to give it to her, and now it's public.
Oh, yes. I wish I knew. Yeah.
Let us know how it turns out.
If you're listening to this, if I don't sew it, it's yours.
Oh, I wish I knew the PR weekend was in Canada before, because I'm in Toronto, so you guys were pretty close there.
Yeah. It was super fun. This year it's in Portland and Oregon.
Nice. Oh, very nice.
So, yeah, if you have any cardigan pattern suggestions for me, which would work for you, let me know.
Oh, I'll definitely send you over some recommendations. Oh, yeah.
You guys know how I feel about cardigans.
You're a cardigan queen.
Yeah, I mean, we should just really give it to our cardigan queen over here, Amanda.
I want a flowy kind, like very loosey-goosey. It's super quick to sew.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, I think Berta has a couple of those, too. Yeah.
We'll send over some recommendations, don't you worry.
Sure. Oh, yeah. How about you, Kate? What's your sojo?
Well, here's my confession. I have a very, very low level sojo right now. My cat has been sick and I have been putting all of my energy into taking care of her. She's doing much better now, but I am exhausted and have not touched anything sewing related for a week and a half, something like that. So my sojo is when I have developed a little bit more energy, I'm going to sew something again. So... That is all I've got right now.
Kate, I have to suggest something for you. I was last year was a little bit going through some personal stuff at home and stuff, and that's when I did not have any energy to sew, and that's when I found the hand sewing, the reverse appliqué, and it really gave me so much peace. And I loved that it was portable. I could bring it with me and I could start and just sew for 5 minutes and put it away. And honestly, those little running stitches are still like yoga for me. I don't do yoga, but it brought me so much peace and happiness and still being connected to a craft, which I love, and not have to go to the sewing room. And if you need any encouragement, I'm a big enabler of hand sewing and slow fashion thing. I will send you all the resources you need to get started. I will even stencil fabric for you.
Oh, thank you. That's really nice. I'd like to give that a try.
Yeah.
For sure.
Such a good idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, my sojo is actually, so this morning before we recorded this, I signed up for Me Made May, and so that kind of has me inspired now. Yeah, so my pledge was just to wear something Me Made for any event or activity I do. It's not realistic every day because, I mean, I work from home, so I'm usually in my pajamas every day. But I also wanted to make a new bathing suit for myself that I feel good in, and I don't care if it, you know, I just want a bathing suit that makes me happy and not like, oh, you should wear like a one piece of whatever. I'm just going to make whatever I want. It's going to be lime green and crazy. And I want it to be like a retro, like body glove one anyways, but it'll be, I just want to make one that I love. So that's kind of my sojo. And I think I'm going to maybe then dive into more of the indie sewing, because I really love, I want to branch out a little bit more and get that Megan Nielsen new bathing suit pattern as yeah. Because it's a really good template for a bathing suit. So yeah, that's my sojo. Mm-hmm. And I think awesome. You need to hop off now, Deepika. But it was so great having you here.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining. Amazing. You guys are such good debaters. I like that.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
I like it. But I do want to say one thing in closing that I honestly think there is no debate between like which pattern company this, that. I don't think there's any single pattern which has ever been made which works for every single body.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Or any company, honestly, which completely churns out pattern which works for everybody. You just need to go find what works for you and just go sew. And the more pattern companies we have, the better it is for all of us.
Completely agree. Absolutely.
And you should never, ever feel guilty because you think that you're getting a pattern from a company that's not cool enough. If you love it, then that's all that matters.
That's the beauty of sewing.
You're already the coolest person. If
you are.
Exactly.
Love that. Well, thank you again. This was lovely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. Yeah.
Wow. That was a really awesome conversation. And I'm so glad Deepika was able to join us today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now it's time for our Sew and Tell segment. And in the last episode, we asked you, how does sewing support your mental health? And we got some really great responses. It was really nice reading all of them. And even that was so lovely of Deepika to share her her journey with you, Kate. And I hope that, and I kind of know that like made me want to start hand sewing. And we all know I hate hand sewing. I'm like, I want to do that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny too, because I don't think she knew about our sew and tell question necessarily. I think it just happened to come up in the conversation. So that was quite a confluence of stuff.
Absolutely.
Tied in beautifully.
Yes. Also beautiful, the comments that we got on this question, because I think for me it was, I don't know, it's just kind of about developing that connection and hearing that other people have, you know, kind of use sewing in the same way that I use it. So I'll kick us off. This is from Katie So-and-so on Instagram. And she says, definitely, whenever I feel anxious or like I need a break from the general routine, I walk into my sewing room and feel an instant calm. Usually within an hour or two, I'm able to walk out of there feeling accomplished, refreshed, and ready to tackle anything. Mm-hmm. And I love that because I've said before, you know, sewing gives me energy, and it totally, it does. It does.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Me too.
So we got another comment on Instagram from 2Sew2. It says, sewing has been my physical therapy. It has been and continues to be my peace and my creativity. It's always so fun to find the perfect pattern or design, learn a new technique, and especially to connect and share with fellow sewists. I agree with that. I find especially the technique part.
Yes.
I love learning a new technique and mastering it. Yes. It makes me feel very cool.
It's kind of just, you know, challenging your brain and getting, you know, to a point where you understand it and you can execute it well. And there's a lot of pride in that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our last comment that I'm going to read is also from Instagram, from Julian Cordell.
That's not your Julian, said, right?
I know. Not my Julian. No, that's why I kind of picked this comment. I was like, cool name. But I also loved what they had to say as well. Sewing calms my ever constant moving mind. It quiets the self-doubt and negative talk and brings me moments of peace. I can literally tell when it has been a while since I've sewn when I feel a bit off. It's like my meditation. Just love that.
Nice. Yep, that's my husband can tell when I haven't sewn in a while.
Oh, right. He's like,
he'll ask you, don't you think you need to go sew something?
Yes. So same here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we want to hear what your thoughts are on this episode. And our question is, big four, indie, paper, digital, what's your personal preference? And just So, you know, they're all right. You can.
Yes.
You
know, can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong. Whatever's for you, for you. So
let us
know.
That's
why there's so many great options. I mean, it would be terrible if there was only kind of one thing or the other. So
more pattern companies are better and more options are better.
So true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. That was really fun, guys. That
yes.
was
yes.
great episode.
Well, thanks so much, everybody. Happy stitching.
Happy stitching.
Until next time.
For links to everything we talked about in this episode, go to our show notes page at sewdaily.com/sewandtell. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sewandtellpodcast@fwmedia.com or visit us on Instagram @sewandtellpod. Answer the Sew and Tell question, tell us your sew joke, or just leave us some feedback. If you enjoyed our show, please subscribe on your podcasting platform of choice. And please leave us a review, ideally a good one, because that helps listeners like you find our podcast. And tell your sewing friends about us, too. Thanks for listening, and happy stitching. Sew and Tell is a production of F&W Media Studios. It is produced by Meg Healy, Amanda Carestio, and me, Kate Zeinard. Our consulting producer is Ron Doyle, our audio engineer and editor is Kevin Mitchell, and our executive producer is Jared Mayer.